right. Thank you, Lou. Please turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 40. Psalm 40. You know, this is not the way that I envisioned April being. For myself, for my family, for my church, all the things that we had planned, my oldest son is a senior, and prom, and a ring ceremony for the football team, and upcoming senior week next month, all these different things. I just didn't envision it this way. And it, you know, it reminds me of the fact that life can be quite challenging. Life is full of trials. It seems like you're either going into a trial, you're going through a trial, or you're coming out of a trial. And this trial, this virus, has really been the pits, has it not? I mean, it stinks. Let's just be honest. As I think about this, I go, you know, Lord, maybe you're trying to teach me something. Maybe you're trying to teach all of us something. Maybe you want us to be more generous towards other people, and I've seen that. Maybe you want us to have more gratitude towards the things you've blessed us with. I know he's really spoken to me about that. The little things in life, just the little things, not just the big things like our salvation, for instance. But the little things, God wants us to have more gratitude about that. You know, God's moving through this. He's working through this. And he's working in your life as well as mine. And God is going to bring us through this trial. I believe that with all my heart. He's brought us through other trials in life. He's going to bring us through this one too. But here's the thing. You and I have a choice. We have the choice on how we're going to respond to this trial, to this virus. And as a matter of fact, all future trials that we're going to face in our life, because we will. Remember, we're either going into a trial, through a trial, or coming out of a trial. That's just life. But the reality is we're not hapless. We're not hopeless, helpless people. We're children of God. Every single one of us who's trusted in Jesus Christ is a child of God. That's what it says in John chapter 1. All who believe become children of God. And God has empowered us to live for him, to serve him, and he's given us his wisdom. And so here are a few examples of how not to choose to live right now, how not to respond. And the first example comes from the movie The Lion King. Hakuna Matata. Hakuna Matata means no worries for the rest of my life, right? No worries. Hey, no worries. What's the big deal? You know, I'm just going to act like this thing doesn't even exist. Well, that's not the right response. Or how about this one? This comes from a passage in the scriptures. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Not a good response. Or how about this one? And I got this one from Hee Haw. It goes like this. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom. I'm not singing it right, but gloom, despair, and agony on me. That's the wrong response. But fortunately, in Psalm 40, we're going to see what the right response is. If you're not there already, turn in the Word of God to Psalm 40. We find King David, and he's going through another trial in his life. And it doesn't specifically say what that trial is, which I believe is intentional. God did not specify what the trial is in Psalm 40, because we can apply the principles we learned from David to any trial, past, present, future, whatever trial we've been through or going to go through or what we're going through right now, we can apply these principles. So look with me, Psalm 40. And the first principle is this, is we need to remember. We need to remember that God is faithful. God's been there for you. He's been there for me. He will be there for us. In verse 1, it says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. See, David is reflecting back on his life and the trials he's been through. From being a shepherd boy who faces this giant named Goliath. From facing the rejection when this prophet named Samuel comes to his home and there's seven brothers and he's the seventh. He's out tending the flock. And Samuel says, bring to me your sons. And his own father doesn't even bring him into the room. Bring to me your sons so that I can crown one of them, anoint one of them king. And his own father says, it could never be David. He's faced rejection. He's faced the king of Israel at the time when he was young, named Saul, stalking him in order to kill him, because he had found out that David would be the future king. He's faced his own sin. Not going out to war when he was supposed to, staying home, seeing this woman named Bathsheba, being with her, getting her pregnant, and then intentionally having her husband killed to try and cover it up. He's faced that. He's faced his own son, Absalom, who's rebelled against him, who sat at the gates, who built himself up a little army, who ultimately came and usurped his authority and kicked him out of the city. He's gone through all these trials, and he's reflected on how God has heard him cry out, how God has pulled him out of the pit and put his feet on the solid rock. He remembers all that. The mud, the mire, thinking like quicksand. It's like being in quicksand, and God is reaching down, and he's going to pull us up out of that quicksand once again. I know you've been there. I know you can think right now of times that God has delivered you. When I was a little boy, I was about 2 years old. My mom told me this story of driving on I-70. We were in Ohio. We were driving to Indiana, so we were headed west on I-70. It was incredibly foggy. It was at night, and it was foggy, and my mom was driving, and the vehicle she was driving struck another vehicle that had been in an accident, and the person behind her struck our vehicle, and it literally smashed the car from both ends. It smashed it to the point where the doors would not open. By the way, this is a true story. I'm not making this up. The doors would not open, and the car caught on fire. And it turns out the driver of the vehicle in front of us was actually killed in the previous accident that he was involved in. The driver behind us fled the scene. It was a hit and run. And so we were stuck there with a car on fire, and we couldn't get the doors open. My parents couldn't. I was 2 years old. I wasn't exactly helpful. And so they struggled and struggled, and they said all of a sudden someone came along and just opened the door right up. And my mom, my dad, they fled from the car, and as they were running, my mom started screaming, "Where's Mike? Where's Mike? Where's Mike?" And my dad ran back, and he grabbed me from the back seat, and he fled from the vehicle. And as he was running, it literally exploded. His coat that he was wearing caught on fire. It's like one of those TV shows for real. It blew up, but we survived. And the next day, my mom was in the hospital. And if you knew my mom, she could talk to anybody. I mean, she could talk to anybody at any time. She was going around the entire hospital asking anybody that she ran into, "Do you know who opened the door? Do you know who opened the door? Do you know who opened the door?" And no one had a clue. There was no one there. To this day, I personally believe that it was an angel. Personally believe that God sent an angel to open that door. I can't prove that to you. I just believe that God decided that now wasn't our time. He was there. He pulled us out of that quicksand. He pulled us out of that car. He delivered us. And I know he's done the same to you. And he'll do the same for you. I believe that. There's a warning in verse 4. There's a temptation to turn to other things beside the Lord. It says in verse 4, "Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud." In other words, people who are beating their chest saying, "I've got all the answers. I know what's really going on." He says, don't look to them. Look to the Lord. It says, turn aside from false gods. And here's the reality. When we face trials in life, we have this temptation to go Hakuna Matata, or live, drink, eat, be merry. Tomorrow we're going to die. And we turn away from God, and we turn to these false gods. We turn to other things. Perhaps it's drugs. It could be pornography. It could be food. It could be social media. It could be alcohol. Sales on alcohol are through the roof right now. 55% up, at least. Now, I'm not condemning the drinking of alcohol, but I'm saying if you are spending this time by drinking yourself to inebriation, that's the wrong response. That's the wrong response. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians, don't get drunk with wine, get drunk with the Holy Spirit. Get filled with God. Look to God, turn to God. And so in verse 5, David says this, Many, Lord my God, are the wonders you've done, the things you've planned for us. None can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of all your deeds, there'd be too many to even declare. He's saying, God, you have been there for me so many times. So many times. You've pulled me out of that muck. You've pulled me out of that pit. And you know, we tend to forget that. When we go through hard times, we forget all the good things that God has done for us, all the good things that God is doing for us. We forget about all the good things God will do for us. And David's saying, no, there are so many good things, God. It reminds me of the end of the Gospel of John. In chapter 21, verse 25, where John says, if I were to write down every miraculous thing that Jesus did, I would fill so many books, it would fill the world. I mean, God is still moving. God is still working. God is faithful. He's faithful. And you know what? There's a pattern emerging in this. David is showing us this pattern in his life. He goes through hardship. He goes through a trial. And then he cries out for help. He cries out to God for help, and then he has to wait. Patiently I waited for the Lord. But then God shows up, and God delivers him. God brings salvation, and David has a new song in his heart, and he praises God, and his praise of God winds up impacting all these people. So there's this pattern, and we're going through the pattern again, y'all. We are going through this pattern again. We're in the middle of a hardship. We're facing this coronavirus, this COVID-19, and we are crying out to God. And as we cry out to God, we are patiently waiting for God to deliver us, which he will. He ultimately will. We just don't know when, but he will. And when he does, we are going to have an incredible celebration, and we're going to glorify him. And when we do, the people of this world are going to take note. They're going to see it, and it's going to change their hearts too. There's this pattern, this cyclical pattern going on. So the first thing David says is, remember, remember, don't forget, God is faithful. And then he says, so your response ought to be faithfulness. How should we respond? We should respond by being faithful to God, not being passive. It's not like sitting in the doctor's office and saying, okay, what magazines do we have here? Oh, Texas Monthly, you know, I'm going to read about the cattle, you know, or whatever. No, no, no. He's saying be active while you wait. Faithfully active. Be faithful. Look at verse 6. David says, sacrifice and offering you don't desire, but my ears you've opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you don't require. So God's saying, I want something more than just this sacrifice. And when it talks about the sacrifice in verse 6, it's talking about all the sacrifices that the Israelites, the Jews, used to do in the temple. Every single one of them. God wanted them to do it back before Christ, but he's saying there's something more. And in verse 7, he says this, here I am, I've come. It is written about me in the scroll. He's saying, God, I'm looking at your word, and I know this word is about me. It's speaking to me from your truth. And here's the crux of it in verse 8. I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. See, David's heart's desire is to be faithful. And what's that look like? That's obedience. That's obedience. Give God what he wants most. Romans 12:1 reiterates this. I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, to present yourselves living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God. You know what he's saying there in Romans 12, what Paul's saying, what God ultimately is saying? He's saying, obey me. Obey me from your heart. Choose me. Choose to obey me. It's interesting in verse 6 that he says, my ears are open. And if you go and you look back at Jesus and when he preached to people, he'd often conclude what he said with this, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, God, open my ears, open my mind to hear your truth, to hear your word, and God, to allow it to penetrate my heart so that I obey it, so that I obey it. David's saying, God, I'm going to obey you. I'm going to be dedicated to you. You know, many years ago, the reformer Martin Luther went through this storm, as the story goes. He goes through this incredible storm, and he fears for his life. And in the midst of the fear, he says, God, if you deliver me, I promise to dedicate my life to you. You think about that for a second. We're going through a storm right now. Why don't you right now, if you haven't already, say, God, get me through this, God. I promise to dedicate my life to you. That's the idea that we're getting at here. God, I want to follow you. I want to obey you. And of course, the perfect example of obedience is Jesus Christ himself. It's interesting in Hebrews 10, if you look at this later, Hebrews 10, verses 5 to 7, it repeats these verses we just looked at, verses 6 through 8 of Psalm 40. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the ultimate example of obedience, and Jesus Christ is the ultimate sacrifice. So there doesn't have to be any more sacrifices at the temple. He was the one who obeyed to the point of death, and he set the example for us. God wants obedience. He wants us to be faithful, even through this difficult time where we face this virus. He wants us to be faithful, and he wants us to share the good news, the gospel, in essence. He wants to share it. In verse 9, David says, I proclaim your saving acts in the great assembly. I'm not going to seal my lips, Lord, as you know. I'm not going to hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and your saving help. I don't conceal your love and your faithfulness from the great assembly. God, I'm going to tell everybody about you. God, I'm going to share the good news. You know, it's kind of like, and I wish I had a voice for this. You've been so good to me. You've been so good to me. It just makes me want to shout. Right? You've been so good to me. It just makes me want to shout, God. I just want to shout. And that in and of itself is an act of obedience. So God is faithful. So we need to be faithful to God. But here's the reality. Here's the reality. The waiting is the hardest part. And we're in the middle of the waiting right now, are we not? We're 3 weeks into it here in Grandview. They're talking about us going through the rest of the month of April. And the hardest part of that for me is it's like, if you would tell me that May 5th, let's say, is the drop-dead date, that we are done with this, that we can get back to our lives, I'm like, hey, I can do this. That's a month. I can get through a month. It's like going, I was in the military. I went through basic training. You just tell me when this stuff is over, okay? Just tell me. I'm going to count the days. But we can't count the days because we don't know for certain. We don't know, and that is what makes this so hard. And yet, we have to go through it. And yet, God will be faithful, and yet God calls us to be faithful to him. The waiting is definitely the hardest part. And so David prays to God. You know, he's writing this. He's in the pit right now. Remember, he's in the pit, just like us. He says in verse 11, Lord, don't withhold your mercy from me. May your love and faithfulness always protect me. He's asking God for compassion. He said, God, be compassionate. I don't know how much longer I can do this. Can you hear that? I don't know how much longer I can live in this quicksand, this muck and this mire, this pit, God. I want out. You know, it made me think of the Star Wars movie. In my opinion, the best one, the first one. It's the third one. I get my Star Wars movies confused here. It's where Luke Skywalker is fighting the Emperor, the evil Emperor, and the Emperor's whooping up on him. He's beating him, and Darth Vader is standing there. And Luke Skywalker, you've seen this scene probably 100 times. He's like, Father, Father, please, please. And Darth Vader goes over and he grabs the evil Emperor and he just chucks him down this forever hole, right? Got rid of him, saved his son. You know that the Bible says in Matthew 7:11, that we being fathers who are evil do good to our sons and daughters, our children. How much more will our Heavenly Father, who is truly a good, good Father? So cry out and seek his compassion. He is a compassionate God. Pray and fight against losing perspective. Look what David says. Verse 12, troubles without number surround me. My sins have overtaken me. I can't see. I'm losing perspective, God. I've been in this pit now, and I'm losing perspective. They're more than the hairs of my head. My heart fails within me. You know, when life gets hard, we tend to have tunnel vision. And that's happening to David. I don't know if that's happened to you. That's happened to me. You start to lose perspective on life. I forget what day it is. I'm like, oh, yeah, today's Friday. It doesn't feel like Friday. I mean, Friday's my day off. I don't feel like this is a day off at all. This is, and it's all just merged together. You start losing perspective. You know, what time is it? Oh, it's midnight. Oh, yeah, I should have gone to bed 2 hours ago. That kind of thing, right? David's going through that right now. And we have to fight against that. We don't want to lose perspective. And so what's David do? He keeps praying. Verse 13, be pleased to save me, Lord. Come quickly, Lord. Help me. He goes right back to the Lord, who is faithful. Lord, help me. He says in verse 14, may all who want to take my life be put to shame and confusion. May all who desire my ruin be turned back to disgrace. May those who say, aha, like those who mock us, aha, I see you over there struggling, be appalled at their own shame. He's saying, God, help me. I'm stuck here in the pit, in the miry clay. Pull me out of this muck. God, get me out of this situation with the virus. God, help me with my mortgage. God, help me with my kids who are at home 24/7 now. God, help me with my job. I don't have one. And I mean, we all have those things. God, help me. Please, Lord, help me. You know, there's a story in Luke 19 of a persistent widow. And she cries out to this judge, this ungodly judge. And she keeps crying out to him. And it says in God's word in Luke 19 that eventually he says, okay, I'll help you. Would you stop already? Our Heavenly Father, we cry out to him and he's not like, oh my gosh, there's Mike again asking for help. He's not like that at all. He's more like, yes, son. Yes, he's there for us. He's compassionate towards us. We continue to cry, even when we're in a state of confusion, and when we've lost perspective, our Heavenly Father is still faithful. He's still there for us. Because here's the thing, the struggle is real. The struggle is real. Verse 16, David says, may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who long for your saving help always say, the Lord is great. In other words, he's saying, God, may you always show up. May you always be faithful. And he believes that he will be. May people always rejoice in how you deliver them, how you pull them out of the pit, Lord. May they always do that. But as I said, the waiting is the hardest part. And so, the thing I love about the Psalms is how authentic they are. David says in verse 17, as for me, I'm poor and needy. Okay, now he's the king. He's saying, I'm poor and needy. In other words, I feel right now like I'm helpless, hapless, and hopeless. That's how I feel. And by the way, you can't trust your feelings. Dr. Dobson wrote a book called Emotions, Can You Trust Them? And I heard him come on a radio broadcast many years ago, and he said, don't bother buying this book. I'll tell you, I'll sum it up in one word. No. No, you cannot. So here's David, and he's struggling. I'm poor, I'm needy. He's not poor and needy. He's the king. But that's how he's feeling. He says, may the Lord think of me. You're my help and my deliverer. You're my God. He's saying, please, Father, don't delay anymore. Please, God, answer my prayer. Please, God, respond. The waiting is so hard, and we fight within ourselves, do we not, to keep perspective, to stay focused on who the Lord is and that he's faithful and that one day he will deliver us. And we struggle with trusting God. God, help me to trust you with this. I've struggled with that. God, help me to trust you with it. Help me to trust you, God. I turn on the news, and immediately I need to start praying to God. Because most of it's very negative, to be honest. God, help me to trust you with this. Help me to set my mind on the things above, as it says in Colossians. You know, Jesse Ventura, the famous actor, wrestler, came out years ago, and he said, you know what, these people, you know, that turn to God and religion and all that, they're just using it as a crutch. You know what I say to that? You're darn right. If you broke your leg, wouldn't you want a crutch? Yeah. It's a crutch, not just for my leg, but for my entire being. I am leaning hard into God right now. With everything that I have, I'm leaning into God, and I hope you are too, because God is faithful, and we need his help to be faithful back to him. Because you know what? How we respond to this virus matters. How we respond matters. We need to remember God is faithful. God will be faithful. He's been there for us. He will be there for us. He is going to bring us through this. I can't tell you when, but I know he will. And so don't lose perspective and don't lose faith as you wait on the Lord. Respond by being faithful back to him, by praying to him, by crying out to him, by obeying him. Don't turn to those false gods, whatever they might be. Turn to him instead. He's there for you. And then share. Share what God's doing. As Jonathan mentioned, put in the comments, hi, and put your emojis. And I know there's about a million of them, right? Well, put in there too what God's done in your life. Put something good. I want to hear it. We need to hear it. You want to hear something good from me? My boys have been playing board games every night together. Lately, it's been Monopoly. That's an absolute miracle. To see my kids come together like that at the kitchen table, I mean, it takes an act of Congress to get my family to the kitchen table. And they're volunteering themselves to sit down at the kitchen table and actually talk to each other. Some of it gets a little intense, but they're competitive, right? But they're actually sitting there. That's a good thing. That's a blessed thing. It's like, man, take me back to the Waltons and Little House on the Prairie. I like this. This is good. So there's actually good. God is doing good. God is working good out of this whole thing. Share that, y'all. Put it on Facebook. And by the way, it's not bragging if you give God the credit. Okay? So don't make the post about you. Make the post about God. It's not bragging then. You can't brag too much about God. He deserves every brag we can possibly think of and more. He deserves glory. Okay, so share what God is doing in your life. We need to hear some good news. We need to hear some good news. And I'll tell you some good news, that when we respond the right way, people are going to look back on this. They're going to look back on this. We are going to get through this. People are going to look back on this a year from now, 5 years from now, 20 years from now. And I can only imagine. I can only imagine, especially the kids who are watching this. And my hope and my prayer for all of us is that the people will look back on this, especially the kids, and they go, wow, I remember how mom and dad trusted God. Wow, I remember how the community of Grandview went out of their way to serve other people. Wow, I remember getting on our knees at home and praying. Wow, I remember online streaming and all these stories about all these amazing things that God is doing in people's lives. I remember all that. And wow, I remember how God pulled me out of the muck and mire of this pit that we were in and set our feet on solid ground. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you, just as David did all those years ago. And God, we ask for your compassion. God, we ask that you would deliver us from this virus, God. We pray that you would help us to be faithful. God, we know that you are faithful. Help us to be faithful. Remind us to pray to you. Prevent us from turning to false gods and idols that are going to distract us and that are not going to bring us the things that we truly need, God, the things that only you can give us. And God, we promise that when you bring us through this thing, we are going to have a new song in our hearts. We are going to sing your praises. We are going to glorify you and your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, God. And we pray that would impact this entire world, that people would see that we believe in the one true God who is faithful, who sent his Son Jesus to live a perfect life, to die on a cross for our sins, and who rose from the dead on the third day, and who's going to come back again someday. And not only is he going to wipe out every virus that ever existed, he's going to wipe out every sin that ever existed. So God, we so look forward to your deliverance, and we give you all the praise in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to thank you for joining us this morning. I hope you were encouraged. I pray that you were challenged and motivated by God's word and the Holy Spirit. I ask that if you've never taken a step of faith and trusted in Jesus, maybe today's the day. Jesus Christ is real. He is at the right hand of God. He is on the throne. He is ruling and reigning. He truly lived on this earth. He truly died on a cross for your sins and for mine. And the amazing thing is that it's by grace we're saved. If you just trust in Jesus, like Lou's saying, if you would just trust in Jesus, he would save you. He would pull you out of the miry pit of sin. And he is going to deliver us, I believe, one day from this virus. And I want to encourage all of us to remember to give him the praise. God bless you. Have a great day.